his tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flame.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy hump day. We're almost done with this week. We've got a packed show for you today. Incredible developments continue to unfold in the Trump administration's standoff with the judiciary. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I'm so happy to have an expert with me to kick this show off to help us understand what this means here at home. She is the executive director of the ACLU Wisconsin. Her name is Dr. Melinda Brennan. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show. Thanks for making time.
Thanks for having me back, Maggie. I'm glad to be here.
Let's start with, I think, the question. Why should someone who voted for Donald Trump and supports Donald Trump in the state of Wisconsin care about the civil rights and due process for people that are here illegally?
Well, there's a whole bunch of pieces of that puzzle there. Okay, so let's start with Wisconsin. Democracy doesn't just exist at the federal level. We are not just living in the United States. We are also living, for example, in Wisconsin. These are your neighbors. These are your friends. These are folks that are contributing to your local economy. I know folks across the ideological spectrum that whether they care about human rights or they care about economics, the economics of Wisconsin are significantly dependent on folks that were not necessarily born in the United States across a variety of statuses. And so agriculture is an incredibly important component of Wisconsin economics. And so I would hope folks would care about their neighbors and their friends and their kids' classmates and recognize their humanity and their dignity and refuse to accept that any of us could be disappeared overnight, whether it's for a status without due process or for whatever our beliefs are ideologically. And so, number one, I would hope that everybody would want their due process. Number two, I would hope people would respect each other's human dignity. And number three, I would hope that we would want the very best outcome for our schools, our communities, our families, and everybody that's involved. And that means not destroying our economy while also not destroying families.
To that point, Dr. Brennan, according to a recent study by the University of Wisconsin-Madison, an estimated 70,000 undocumented immigrants live in the state of Wisconsin, 47,000 of whom are employed in the dairy and farming industry. It would basically be an industry crippler. These undocumented workers perform about 70% of the labor on Wisconsin's dairy farms. In manufacturing, we've got approximately 11,000 undocumented workers. In professional management, administrative and waste management services, an estimated 8,000 workers. Food services and entertainment, 5,000. Construction, 5,000. Agriculture, 5,000. We don't have the workers to replace these people, do we?
No, we do not. And you and I are reading the same stuff, Maggie. And I'm sure that not only this study that you're talking about, but I'm sure that you've seen the year over year and decade over decade studies about brain drain in Wisconsin.
Yes.
We can't keep folks that are born and raised in Wisconsin here because there are enough opportunities for them to make a livable life where they can imagine a future here. So then the thought process is to what? Pull the bottom out of an entire industry, pull huge chunks out of various towns and villages and cities across the state to undermine an industry that we're known for statewide, to what, skyrocket the costs of staples? I can't understand it economically. I can't understand it from an industry perspective. I can't understand it from a humanity perspective. I can't understand it from a due process perspective. I wish I could find the logic in there, but this should be an issue that everybody cares about across the ideological spectrum, because we're talking about pulling apart the society we know and depend on.
Just a couple more facts on that. I often hear that undocumented people don't pay taxes. Well, that's garbage. Again, from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, in 2018, undocumented immigrants in Wisconsin paid an estimated $157 million in federal taxes. These are Wisconsin residents. $157 million in federal taxes just from Wisconsin undocumented immigrants. And $101 million in state and local taxes, for a total of $250 million in taxes collected in a single year from undocumented immigrants that are residents of the state of Wisconsin. That's according to the American Immigration Council. That estimate is around $245 million in federal, state, and local taxes as of 2022. By the way, I haven't even talked about elder care and child care and domestic help. Yep. Oh my goodness, we think these things are expensive, hard to secure now. Imagine if you take a big chunk of the workforce away. Boy, it's going to really break the backs of the middle class. I also frequently, Melinda, get this comment, which I have to correct every time. Okay. Undocumented immigrants do not have any rights under the Constitution.
Not accurate.
Not true.
Not true. I don't know what leads people to believe that there are haves and have-nots for our basic rights, but there are rights that if you are here, you have access to them. And I think if you want me to be honest, when people make a comment like that, that I'm very glad to know and not surprised at all that you counter on the regular. I think it
yesterday,
is
yesterday, in fact. Yesterday, in fact.
It could be hourly, Maggie, if we're going to be honest with each other. And I wish it weren't so, but I think that connection between whether or not you look into somebody else's face and you see a human there, I think that correlates very directly to whether or not you believe somebody else has any rights at all. I think those two things are deeply connected, and just take a little bit of humanity in yourself to give yourself the oomph to get educated and not say inaccurate things on the regular.
Well, that brings me to the point about rhetoric and understanding the relationship between the rhetoric of hate and dehumanization and vermin and poisoning the blood, which has always been the rhetoric throughout history that is employed by despots, dictators, and fascists. Why? Because it allows the people who are the haves to look at the have-nots not as my neighbors, my coworkers, the person that might be taking care of my mother in a nursing home, but as inhuman, lesser than them. Here, that rhetoric is being employed by Donald Trump and his minions on The Daily. But the additional allegation, which you also see in every fascist dictatorship in history, is that these are criminals.
Yes.
Right. And that they pose a daily ongoing threat to people's safety. I was wondering, Melinda, if you could comment on how do we start to counter the description of folks as a monolith? And I think there was a breakthrough moment in local reporting this week, coming from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about a man and his partner who came from Laos at 8 months old, has never spent another minute in the country, doesn't speak the language, who has been deported there. Is it through that, through the individual stories, by putting the human, the very human condition front and center for people to see? Is that how we counter this? Are people, is a Trump voter ever going to hear, hey, when they strip away the due process rights of an undocumented immigrant, it's not far from them stripping your due process rights away?
I think, if you want me to be honest, I don't think anybody across the ideological spectrum doesn't have some deep soul searching to do right now. Mm. And that's not an artful dodge from the person who's heading up a nonpartisan organization. That's actually what I believe. If you can't or are unwilling to put yourself under the conditions that somebody else might be put under, do you think that you're going to constantly be at threat for some surveillance from the federal government, as an example of it? Do you think that your due process rights will not be respected and that you will not have access to an attorney? Will you just disappear from where you have been? Do you believe that the rule of law actually exists and that The constitutional powers and their separations will be respected. These are not esoteric, nerdy concepts that are inaccessible to everybody here. And when I say everybody here, I mean across immigration status. If you are currently in the United States right now, today, this second, if you can hear my voice now or in the future, you are a person who needs to take stock of what do you want your future to look like. And it isn't about political party, and it isn't about a particular candidate. It is about a vision of the future that you commit yourself to. And I know that we're going to get to it, but I will just say this, and I said at the top, democracy does not just exist at the federal level. That also exists at the state level. And I know we'll talk about it more, but the state Supreme Court right now, this is a way for people to be engaged, to make their voices heard in a material way. I don't care how fatigued you are. I don't care. I think it's incredibly important that people get out and vote. I think it's incredibly important that people do not sit it out. I think it's incredibly important that people think about their neighbors as human beings and people who are different from them. I think it's incredibly important that people get factual information that they can prove. I think it's really important that people talk to each other across difference. And the worst thing that everybody could do right now is to retreat into whatever communities you belong to and only talk within them, and to only see things through one lens. That is not the place that we are right now. Most of the country has an awful lot of things in common, and it should be about preserving the rights that we all depend on. And that isn't a partisan issue, and it shouldn't be. And so people should be taking stock of how they want to operate in this moment and what they're going to do to ensure the future that is a livable one for them and everybody else that they encounter.
Dr. Brennan of the ACLU Wisconsin, their executive director, you just teased the very next question I had for you, which is, why are civil rights nonpartisan issues? Why does the rule of law matter, even where we seek to evolve the law, reform it, and do better? And what does it matter to the folks that are listening? We've been talking about that a bit, but I want to talk about the very nature of the ACLU as a nonpartisan entity and what that means for regular Wisconsinites. All that coming up right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We got Dr. Melinda Brennan of the ACLU Wisconsin. Will they be coming for you in the middle of the night?